famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and online at the Listen Live on our website. Just listen live. You don't need a backstage pass to hear the show live each and every night. And starting on the 17th, each and every morning, you just hit Listen Live, and you can hear it on your mobile phone if you want. You can hear it on your desktop. And so it really renders moot the whole question of, hey, Phil, are you on in Calgary? Yeah. Wherever you have a smartphone, that's where we are. It's weird.
That's really going to take getting used to for a lot of people, isn't it?
When you say smartphone, what do you mean?
The thing you've got there. That's a smartphone.
No, this is an iPhone.
Dang, it's the same thing.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the smartphone is like either a droid.
Well, no, don't do that. If you start talking about droid, you know, I don't like the whole idea of...
It's not an Android. You know that.
No, I know that, but I just don't know.
All right, but that's a smartphone. So wherever you are, wherever your smartphone is, you can hear the show. And that's about as... I can't get much more... I can't make it any clearer than that. I think it's just a matter of people don't want to do things different. I don't want to get political, but every single solitary thing that is introduced that's new, okay? Like I said, I'm not going to be political. I'm not bringing up any issue.
Talk about health care reform, ain't you?
Would you be quiet, man?
Well, you are.
No, I'm not. All I'm saying is anything that is new that requires people to get a little bit of a learning curve going. It could be fantastic. It might be something that really benefits them. It might be something that's great. It might be the greatest thing in the world. I bet you, for instance, I'll give you a better example. If they finally came up with a way to, let's say that men, they found a way to cure male pattern baldness. I mean, absolutely for sure cure male pattern baldness. And I mean, you would like grow hair. Like tomorrow, I could walk in here tomorrow and have like a Dr. Zorba cut, you know.
What's that?
Like Don King.
No, I don't look like Don King, was that right?
Why would you want to have hair like that?
I'm just saying, if I had a big bunch of hair, right? And if what it took to get that Don King hair...
Well, you said Don.
You, yeah.
What?
I'm sorry to interrupt, and Bud's right. You did say the word Don.
Don King. Don King.
I know, Phil, but you said Don King.
You did, Phil. Don't you want them to point these moments out where there's filth?
Yeah. What? No, okay, forget it.
What a baby.
No, forget it. All right, I'll finish.
Zed Don King.
I heard that. So what I'm saying is if it required anything other than just pushing a button or taking a pill, if it required, for instance, me having to read something in a book and understand what I had to do to go get all this hair, I bet you it would become, nobody'd want it. You know, people would be bitching about it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, until you finally told them, well, here's how it's done, and it's really easy. And
well, what about like driving a car? Wasn't that difficult?
That's a great example. Automobiles were considered to be absolute, they were considered to be the work of the devil. Telephones, people didn't like. People bitched about telephones. They said that, guess what they said about telephones? The same thing they said about computers. It's going to take us away from interacting with people. That's exactly what they said about telephones. They said, now we're going to be on a telephone, and we won't be having person-to-person communication. It's, you know, it's all going to be on the phone.
It's going to make people communicate more.
We and you and I know that now, Bud. We know that it didn't take away from actual personal communication, but back then. So it doesn't matter, you know. And like I said, I don't want to be political, but so much of what is being said now around the whole healthcare thing, so much of it has to do with that. Because I saw this article, this lady, she was saying that she had leukemia and that when she got Obamacare, it was going to cost her all this money. And they actually did the math for her, and it turned out she was saving $1,000, and she didn't even believe it. She had to have somebody else do it for her because she refused to do it.
Well, you're getting too political, Phil.
Yeah, you're talking about... You know, don't go there with me, this whole Obamacare thing. I won't hear it. I will have none of it.
All right, I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm just, but my point is, new stuff freaks people out. Okay.
Now, I saw you getting all upset with the Bieber tapes.
Yeah, I'm going to get on the phone here. Our friend Brad Rifkin. Forget the Bieber tapes, okay? Because...
Well, what were you upset about?
I can't get anything done around here. Because there was some bleed happening, and I was trying to get something recorded, and it was just too loud.
Yeah, you're getting all pissy about it, though.
I'm going to get pissy, bud. Hey, you know what? Everyone back off. So is Brad there?
I got to call him up.
Man, you're supposed to call him during a break.
I'm sorry. I should have reminded him.
Call him up. Brad Rifkin is going to join us, and we'll talk about the autobiography that I'm supposed to write or proposing to write, which is, of course, entitled In Your Wildest Hallucinations.
You should tell the story how you got that.
I've told it. It's from a Clint Eastwood movie. All right. Brad Rifkin in Las Vegas, Nevada. Not Las Vegas, Nevada with us. Brad, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. I'm not in Nevada. I'm in Nevada. I just thought I'd jump on the bandwagon. It sounds like everybody breaking your chops over all these little things.
Well, they do. You know, if I mispronounce anything.
Yeah, they like it when they say when you lisp, you know. And Bud Dickman, who I think is a great kid, and I've been talking to Bud for... But, Bud, you are not the guy to start telling people what they, you know, how they sound like a retard. I shouldn't say retard, but...
You're not supposed to say that.
I understand I'm not supposed to say that, but...
Don't worry about it, Brad. I understand where you're going, and thank you for defending me. I think people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
There you go, right there.
Well, technically...
No, not technically nothing. Don't be telling me about lisping. And I don't lisp all the time, only when I make a mistake.
Well, that we know of. I mean, Brad, we don't know what goes on.
About what?
Well, when Phil leaves here and goes home, we don't know if he's lisping around the house. We don't know. And this is not about your sexuality, Phil. Simply, behind the scenes, are you prancing about the home, you know?
What does that mean, prancing about?
Phil, we're not talking about you. We're not saying you're gay.
Oh, I don't care if you were saying it, but I mean, is that what you think?
No, we know you're straight, but when you go home, are you flitting about from bedroom to bedroom in just a pair of slippers with nothing else going, listen, are you doing that?
What the hell?
It's a fair question, Phil. I think a lot of us win our private moments.
No, I'm not doing anything like that. If I was, I'd be happy to tell you.
Well, I wouldn't want to tell anyone if I was skipping from one room to the next in a small terry cloth robe and saying, listen, it's so nice today. You know, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, General. Thank you.
Well, I worked at the battalion level on strategy, and what has that got to do with anything? I don't know.
We're just saying, Phil, you don't know about people.
Well, you know something? No, we don't know about people. Maybe I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, Phil. What do we know about Margaret? You know, hey, Margaret, maybe you go home and put something on that you can only buy that comes in a box.
Oh, my God.
All right, take it easy. He's kidding around.
No, I won't sit still for that. I'm going out. I got to get some air. Jesus.
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry if I overstepped my bounds.
Oh, she's Margaret?
I'm getting air. I'm breathing.
She went out get a air.
Okay, I heard that. Brad, welcome to the show. Want to ask you a question.
I'm breathing.
We got it, Margaret. So... people have asked me to write stuff down to the years, and I've never known what it was I was going to write until one day the phrase, in your wildest hallucinations, hit me, and because it's from a movie that I like called The Gauntlet.
Yeah, I know the scene you're talking about. I love the scene with Clint Eastwood coming down from the cave.
Right, right. And so he says, you know, about there'll be more drugs, more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters, and in your wildest hallucinations. So I thought, well, there's a really good title for an autobiography.
Well, now, the question is, why would you call it? Is it because your show, your art, your creativity has been almost like one big hallucination? Because that's what it strikes me that way, you know?
Well, it does. It strikes me that way. When I listen to you, Phil, sometimes it's as if I'm hallucinating, you know? It's so wild and way out there. You know?
Yeah, it's some people have told me that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that would be one reason why I would call it that. And the other thing is hallucination is a sort of baby boomer term. Maybe we should replace it with dream or something like that.
Well, I think it's a good title, and I think... But I wanted to know the genesis of that, the matrix of that, where it begins. And then we can talk about what we want to incorporate into the book. And how we want to, whether you want to do an e-book or whether you want to do a published book.
All right, let's take a break. Brad Rifkin with us from Rifkin Advertising here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the possibility of a autobiography by yours truly. And I really am not comfortable talking about myself like this. But, hey, you know, it's kind of what, it's kind of the topic, I guess.
I was breathing. Now I'm back. I got air.
You got some air. Good. Margaret Gray's back with us.
Don't, you know, Phil, don't be sarcastic. I was outside taking a good deep breath. Otherwise, save me from a homicide charge.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're live mobile on Listen Live and live and mobile on TuneIn. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Brad Rifkin on the phone with us from Rifkin Advertising. And we're having I'm having fun tonight, don't get me wrong, but it's just, there have been stops and starts.
Well, every show's a stop. Can you turn that down, bud? I can't hear myself think.
I'm trying to listen to music.
We're not listening to music around. Turn it down, bud.
Every show is a stop and a start. What are you looking at, bud?
I take my orders from Mr. Henry.
Let me tell him.
All right, Phil, I don't want to just be competing with that garbage. I don't know what that was.
The late Ronnie Montrose, that's who it was.
All right, Phil, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. But yeah, I have respect about it.
I don't know who... What was the man's name?
Margaret, just drop it, okay?
Well, no, who was it?
Ronnie Montrose, the late great.
Well, it's... All right, I'm sorry. It sounded like garbage to me. I don't know.
Well, that's great. You know, and I tell you what, Margaret, probably Jason J. Delmonico's acting looks like some kid stumbling around the stage with one leg shorter than the other. What do you think of that?
Turn that down.
Oh, look at this.
No, turn. What did you say? What did you say?
I'm going to say it again. Maybe Jason J. Delmonico, his acting...
Never mind.
Oh, she's walking out.
Where are you going, Margaret?
I'm getting some air.
Damn, Sam, that's a pretty cold shot, you know?
Yeah.
What's a cold shot?
Stumbling around like with one leg swimming, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's talking about Ronnie Montrose. That man just passed on about a year or two ago. He's a great guitar player. The garbage. Everything with Margaret is garbage, you know?
I didn't say it was garbage until I found out. Then I said it wasn't.
What?
I said it was garbage, then I found out a guy dead.
It's probably doing shorthand.
Get Mr. Rifkin on the phone. Get him up on the line here, okay?
I already called him on the phone.
Get him on the line. Brad, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. Listen, my Margaret was using shorthand on you, if you heard that.
Are you using shorthand?
No.
Yeah, she is.
I said I... Montro, good, garbage, bad.
Yeah, you are, and I can't understand it.
Yeah, I don't like that shorthand either. I think it's a really bad idea. I know that Danger's a proponent in a lot of people. I think it makes it sound like a guy is some kind of a dod. And I don't mean to use that word.
Let's get off that word. How did that start leaking back into the conversation around here?
I didn't use it.
Well, Phil, I think it's a terribly offensive word. But there are times when words do it, you know, words fail you, and you got to go for the cheap shot. And
I apologize, Phil.
All right. Getting back to the autobiography.
I didn't call Ronnie... I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't mean to call Ronnie Montrose garbage.
No, you called his music garbage.
I apologize.
All right, and I apologize what I said about Jason J. Delmonico.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What am I listening to?
I'm sorry, I got the television up here in the back. I hope you don't mind. I got, you know, my son is watching TV here with me.
All right, Brad... this idea of an autobiography that I want to write, what is the first instinct you as an advertiser, you as a promoter, you as a guy that's going to be in charge of doing the press relations, doing the public relations, doing the book signings, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing you got to ask yourself, do you want to do an e-book or do you want to be published by a reputable publishing house, you know?
We were talking about the e-book the other day, Brad.
Yeah, the e-book is, a lot of people opt for the e-book. Now, the e-book is a book that is online, and you can't get a copy of a paper version of it. You got to read it right there on the computer, okay? Or I guess you can print it off. I think you can. Well, I'm not really sure. But anyway, an e-book is a good one to write because you don't have to. In other words, you can write it yourself and just publish it. You see what I mean?
Well, what about this girl that was telling Phil and everybody? She sold billions of copies. She wrote I read up later, Phil. It was a fantasy book.
Yeah, I know the girl you're talking about.
Yeah, she wrote a fantasy about all kinds of wild fantasies and hallucinations.
Well, what kind of fantasies were these?
You talk about sex?
No, I'm not talking about sex, Dickman. God Almighty, is your mind continually bathing in the underbelly,
All right, so you're not talking about sex. It was a fantasy book. She published this online. She has sold millions of copies. I don't know how many she sold for whatever money, and it's doing very well, right?
That is exactly right. It's doing very well.
I don't know about the e-book, though, Phil. Who reads them?
He just said there's millions of people. I've bought two e-books. Actually, I've bought three e-books so far, and I've read them. They're historical books.
Is that the one you told me about, this Abraham Lincoln, this guy?
Yeah, that guy, Abraham Lincoln, yeah.
I know who he is. I'm just saying, is that the one?
One of them was about Lincoln's assassination commission. The other one was a logbook from the Bounty, and the other one was the transcript of the trial of the mutineers. I realize it's real weird, historical, geeky, history geek stuff, but I purchased all three of those as e-books.
Those books, ain't they paper, too?
What does that mean, ain't they paper, too? Do you know about e-books?
No, I don't. I'm not really familiar with it because it sounds cheap. It sounds real cheap, cheap ass. Excuse my language.
I don't think you need to use that kind of language.
Well, Margaret, I think it describes... The e-book is real cheap, just a real cheap, creep way. Now, I know that a lot of people do it, but don't you want to have, say, Phil Hendry, the autobiography of Phil Hendry, published by, Penguin, like the Penguin?
What do you mean the Penguin?
The Penguin,
Penguin Books.
Yeah, Penguin Books.
Is that the same?
No, man, it's Batman. That's stupid.
The Penguin, no, bud.
I know it's not the guy from Batman, but was it inspired by Batman?
No, it was not inspired by Batman, no. Penguin Books is a long, long time publisher of books, mostly paperbacks, right?
Yeah, I think Penguin does the paper. And then you have Harper and Row, and you have Simon and Schuster, and you have Simon and Simon. And that's a joke, Simon and Simon from the TV show, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, he's trying to lighten the mood, Phil.
Hey, let me tell you what. We don't need the mood lightened. Everything's fine. Everyone's feeling good.
I said Simon and Simon.
Yeah, what about Simon and Garfunkel, too?
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. That's another... What's the story? Can't we laugh?
Well, yes, you can laugh at an appropriate time. I'm trying to figure this thing out. So, what am I hiring you to do?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You're hiring me for my expertise, the stuff that I know and what I do? I will set up the book signings. I can set up the displays, the press releases, press conferences, the tour, the book tour. See, and then the other thing, Phil, when you are with a big company, see, they advance you like about $1 million. See, and
oh, that is true, Phil. You get an advance from a big publisher when you write an ebook. You're sitting there waiting for the money to come in, don't you?
Yeah, you got to sit. If you write an ebook, you got to sit like that little girl that wrote those fantasy books. She got to sit there on her rear end, and she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting. When's the money going to start rolling in? You don't know. You'll never know. And no one's treating you like. See, you're just sitting there in your kitchen in your pajamas, and you're waiting for somebody to go. Oh yeah. That's a great, but you got to take all kinds of crap. I think if you publish a book and then they give you about $1 million, see? Man, that now you're living.
Mr. Henry, that sounds like the way to go.
Let me tell you about the $1 million. You know that that's an advance.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You don't know this, Margaret? It's an advance.
Well, technically, all right. That's got nothing to do with it.
Are you saying that you got to pay it back?
Yes, you got to pay it back. You know you got to pay it back. All that money is an advance that you got to make up with the sale of your book, and if you don't, you owe the publisher money.
Well, you don't want to emphasize that part. You want to emphasize. I'm trying to emphasize the part to you where you get a check for $1 million. Think about that.
Isn't that exciting, Phil?
No, it's not exciting if I've got a check sitting in front of me for $1 million, knowing that I have now got to sell at least $1 million worth of books. I can't do anything with that check.
What do you mean you can't do anything with it?
Well, you can take a vacation, can't you?
No, I can't take a vacation. I'm not going to do anything with that check until I sell enough books to cover the check.
Boy, are you kidding me or something, Henry? You're the only guy I've ever heard of that gets a check for $1 million.
That's why a lot of these young artists, young authors, and people like that get into trouble. We'll be right back here with Brad Rifkin. Boy, am I glad I'm talking to this guy.
Phil, you're raining all over the man's parade.
No, I'm not. Brad ought to know better. I'm not going to leave the impression here that somehow if I go with a big-time publisher, I'm going to get a check for $1 million, and it's Party City.
Well, you're doing a check for $1 million.
I would think you'd want to have at least one cocktail.
I'm not going to have a cocktail if I know that I've got to pay that money back. I got to make up that $1 billion in book sales. There ain't no party happening until I actually cover the $1 million. What's wrong with you guys, you know?
No, don't ask me what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with all of us?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
That's pretty dramatic.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I like this song, always have liked this song, always will like this song.
Oh, I remember this from Deer Hunter as he's in Vietnam to look for his lost friend. And he's there in the strip bar in Saigon, some dark, seedy, stinky...
Oh, that brings back some memories for me.
You remember that, Phil? And he's looking for his friend, the friend that played Russian Roulette.
Yeah, Robert De Niro is there. He's trying to find Christopher Walken.
And he walks into the strip bar with those little Vietnamese girls dancing, and this song is playing. And suddenly you're cast back to those dark days of the Vietnam thing, you know.
Who said they were dark days? Why, I was,
General.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, yes, Steve.
What were you doing, running a dice game? That's what you were doing, running a dice game, weren't you?
Margaret?
Running a dice game, weren't you?
Take it easy.
Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I'll have none of it, thank you. Now, Margaret, you wanted to hear this song because you had the lyric sheet out, and were you going to be doing a version of this?
Yes, go ahead and hit it. Hit it, bud. Yeah.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen, got the lyric sheet to it and everything.
That's right, I have the lyric sheet to it and everything. I like this song because it reminds me of Frank, because one day... Frank was standing there, and the wind blew Frank in my direction.
All right, Margaret. I caught
it in what?
Turn that off.
Oh, I'm having some fun.
Don't you get it? The wind blew Frank?
Yeah, the wind blew Frank in her direction.
Boy, what a pain in the ass, Phil. Can't you have any fun at all?
Phil, you're really getting crotchety in your old age.
I'll let you sing it later on. Do you mind? Because I got Brad on the phone.
Whatever.
Boy, look at you. You know, if I'm talking about something that you care about, you're all over it like white on rice, man. But if we're talking about something I want to talk about, then you're singing Moonlight Feels Right and the wind's blowing Frank in your direction.
Yeah, who wants to know?
Phil Henry Show. All right, so Brad Rifkin, for a few minutes here, just, you know, just a couple of more minutes is all we're asking. This is all we require. This is all we, you know, it's not like I'm asking the world here, Brad. And I'm sure you understand, huh?
Oh, yeah. But, hey, Margaret, I know you're having fun, and I love to listen to you sing, Margaret. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Brad, very much.
I liked the when you did the Christmas songs. We always listen to it.
So, Brad, e-books. Tell me the pluses and the minuses. You don't think the e-book is worth it. I'm telling you that $1 million advance that the publishers give you, you got to pay back.
All right. Well, I mean, if you got to pay it back, you got to pay it back. But why are you emphasizing that? Why don't you emphasize it's $1 million, you know?
Because that's how artists get into trouble.
Well, let's back off of this whole artist thing, because you know what? These days, books are being written by every kind of, you know, I don't want to be offensive, but books are being written by every kind of brain-dead slob. I shouldn't say brain-dead slob. Books are being written by every sort of person that is not the most good writer, you know, and...
In other words, people like you, Brad?
Jesus, man.
Margaret, that wasn't necessary.
What a shot.
Well, you're talking about brain-dead slobs.
Is that what I am to you? I just got done complimenting your singing, and this is what you say to me.
But no, I'm all right, I'm sorry, but you're saying they don't write good and this and that. Look, people are telling their story, and everyone, as the Desiderata tells us, everyone has a story to tell. Oh, the wind blew the... What?
All right, thank you very much.
Boy, you are, you know, if I didn't know better, Margaret, I'd say you're the one that's been packing her nose tonight.
So you think, did you hear this? He thinks I got the sugar up the...
Well, Margaret, you are kind of squirrely.
Yeah, you're acting a little on a squirrely edge of life.
I mean, it's not just me.
I feel good. Is there something wrong with that? When you feel good, Phil, it's funny how I feel good.
Yeah, I guess that's what's going on here. I got enough sleep last night, so everybody got sleep, huh?
I know, I feel refreshed.
All right, so Brad, the $1 million advance being what it is, it sounds good, but it is something that has to be paid back. And as I recall, as a matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago, there was a book that was written by a celebrity. And this was a celebrity that had taken the $1 million. It wasn't Jackie Collins or who's Jackie Collins's sister?
You're talking about Joan Collins.
It wasn't Joan Collins. It was somebody. The book was rejected by the publisher. The publisher had given this individual about $1 million advance, I think, something like that.
Right.
And this is a true story. You know this one, Margaret?
I know the story. I don't know who you're. I'm like you. I can't remember who it was.
Anyway, they were in court. And the celebrity, I think, had actually taken the publisher to court. And this person did not have a leg to stand on, because what happened was the finished product that was delivered to the publisher by this celebrity was, in the words of the publisher, unreadable. It was just a mess. It was not a, they wouldn't publish it. They'd already given the advance, and this individual, this celebrity that had written this book, had spent the money as if it was the salary or the agreed upon money that would be paid for services rendered as a writer, and they didn't understand that this is money that had to be paid back.
So what did the publisher was looking to get their money back?
The publisher was looking to recoup their money, and the celebrity turned around and sued the publisher because that was the only thing she could do. She suddenly realized she was up against it, so she sued them for a breach of contract. I don't know how this thing came down, but you could probably Google it.
Well, you can Google it and look up wretched writing and spent the $1 million on...
Yeah, on Botox.
Well, I don't know. Spent the $1 million on some kind of a... Nowadays, everyone's trying to get their, you know, their derriere. Probably spent the $1 million on getting a fat... Getting their ass?
You probably get the ass fat.
Getting ass fat, yeah.
I don't know what they're spending it on. I'm just saying, Phil, it's sexier for the headline to say Phil Henry gets $1 million for his autobiography.
I don't really care. I'm not interested in being hung with $1 million bill to pay. I'm just not interested in that.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get a big publisher to publish you.
Well, it doesn't have to be $1 million, you know. I mean, you can get an advance for what?
What are you going to get an advance for, 50 grand? Why would a publisher even want to waste their time with an author? This guy can sell $50,000 worth of books. Big deal. No one's going to care. No big-time publisher's going to care. So you got to come to the publishing house with a story so big, so full of, ready to rock and roll, that it's gonna sell to the tune of a lot of money. Maybe not $1 million, maybe $500,000, something like that.
All right, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I haven't even written the book yet.
It doesn't matter. That celebrity hadn't written the book, and she got $1 million. And another thing...
All right, Margaret, I know. And what we could do is look up who that is. So what do you think the book should... It's an autobiography.
Right, well, it should be a book that starts at the beginning. Here's the thing about writing any book. No matter what you're writing about, the first line has got to really grab the reader. Think about Moby Dick. All right.
What's it called?
It's called Moby Dick, bud. And before you start going off on that, it was a whale.
You thought about Moby Dick? Oh, you mean the whale book?
Yeah, the whale book.
All right. Okay, we done with that?
Yeah.
All right. The first line of Moby Dick, I am... No, call me... what's the guy's name? Ishmael. Call me Ishmael. Huh?
Yeah.
That don't grab you.
Well, I mean, I understand for the times.
That don't grab me.
Look, you guys gotta go with me. That was a grabber for those days, all right? All right, I got a better one. Charles Dickens, when he wrote Tale of Two Cities, the opening line, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Oh, that's one of the classic opening lines of all times. Yes, I know.
What's that mean?
Hey, bud, just, you know, take it easy, huh?
What's up with the take it easy? Are you telling me to take it easy?
Oh, he's going to start to snivel down.
That is, Charles Dickens is writing about the French Revolution. And the opening line is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Meaning, it was quite literally that. It was the best of times, but it was also the worst of times. In Paris, and the two cities are Paris and London.
Did you read it?
No.
Well, you know a lot about a book that you haven't read.
Well, I mean, I've studied Charles Dickens. I've read a lot of his books.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So your book needs to have a grabber like that.
Why can't Mr. Henry start with that?
Start with what?
The best of time and the worst of time.
Is this guy for real?
But I'm not going to start my book out with a line that another guy used.
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
Yes, it does make some difference. Oh, okay, here's Phil Henry's. First of all, no one's going to think it's all that original. They won't like it. It'll suck, and they won't want to read it.
What about, like, my name is Ishmael?
Are you serious? You're looking at me with a serious look on his push. You ought to see this.
You think the guy ought to start his book with They Call Me Ishmael?
Well, but he said he couldn't use the other one.
Why is Mr. Henry going to start his book with They Call Me Ishmael?
But he said I'll grab a line.
I got to come up with my own line that's a grabber, not somebody else's.
But so how's the Bible start?
In the beginning, there. That's the Bible starts, you know.
Well, that's not very sexy, is it?
Well, I don't know. The Bible, it's hard to knock the Bible. The opening line, in the beginning, huh? That's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, get a load of you guys, your critics. All of a sudden, it's called the Bible, man. That thing is sold like hotcakes. That is selling that Bible like hotcakes. You don't know about that, huh?
Yeah, I know about it.
So what do you think a good line would be like this? My name is Phil Henry, and I've got 30 seconds to live. Something like that, you see?
My name is Phil Henry, and I've got 30 seconds to live.
Yeah, something that's going to... The reader's going to go, wow, I got to read this. Yeah, like Ernest Hemingway's got a book like that. It's called The Killers, and it starts out with this guy saying, I'm about to be killed. And he goes back and tells the story of how everything went to hell in a handcart, about how he's going to be dead and everything.
Oh, that's bitching, man. So the guy's already dead?
Well, he's about to be dead. But he's going to tell the story of how he's going to be dead. And he's going to tell the story of how he got dead, see? Well, not got dead, but how he's going
to
be...
Yeah, he's, in other words, he's bringing the reader up to the present moment where he's about to meet his end.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what we need from you is where were you born, Phil?
Pasadena, California.
All right, in Pasadena, California, a real slob was born. You see, I know you're not a slob, but you gotta...
I think we get the idea, Brad. It's gotta be a grabber, but most of the things you're coming up with...
What is with this, a real slob?
No, you're not a slob, you know.
Well, does it have to be negative?
No, it doesn't have to be negative. Just... Phil, hi, my name is Phil. This is my story. And at the end of this book, I'll probably be arrested. See, you gotta, you know...
Yeah, probably true, too.
Yeah, that's the one thing that said it would be true.
Why are you guys saying that?
I don't know.
So I get what you're saying, though. It has to be a very, speaking of arrested, it has to be a very arresting line.
There you go, bingo. It's got to be an arresting line. Now, once you come up with that, then the book writes itself.
Well, I think it takes a little bit more than that.
Now, hold on for a minute. I just want to ask one thing here, Rifkin. I just want to ask you something, Rifkin, because I feel, you know, very close to Phil, and I feel protective of him. And I don't know what your game is, Rifkin, but something about it bothers me. Something about it smells pretty bad.
Look, General, I'm here to try to make everybody look good. I want everyone to get well, all right?
Listen, Rifkin, what is your angle anyway?
What are you all of a sudden, Mickey Spillane? Take it easy.
Look, all I want you to do, Phil, is write a book and have it sell a whole bunch of copies, and we all get well.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you. We'll see what we can do.
You got it.
Brad Rifkin there.
I agree with the general. There's something up with that guy.
There's something about that guy that smells rotten.
I don't think so. I think Brad's, he was very conversant with those opening lines, you know.
But Tale of the Two Cities.
You know something, bud? When all of a sudden a classic like Tale of Two Cities, in your mouth, it turns into, it's like...
It's like just wadded up bubblegum.
Yeah, it's about 150 pounds of chewed bubblegum.
All right, let's take a break and come back here on this, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and then I think Margaret is going to be offering... Are you going to be singing this?
Well, yes, it's no big deal. I just wanted to do my freeform lyrics to Moonlight Feels Tight.
Feels right.
Well, it may... to me, it feels tight. I don't know.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. The wind...
I'm Margaret Gray, and I'm going to sing one of my all-time favorites for you using my philosophy of the freeform lyric. You know this group as Starbuck. They later founded the coffee chain, and the song goes something like this. The wind blew the fee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. I caught it in my hands today. Frank looked at me and smiled.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Hold on for a minute.
Phil, we're going on the web platform next week. We can say anything we want.
Well, maybe next week we can.
Oh, instead, it's just she caught Frank in her hand.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, let me just freeform it, okay? For God's sake, Phil, I built the audience up.
All right, but just please watch it, will you?
Yeah, okay.
You want me?
Yeah, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray.
I love this song. It's called Moonlight, Feel Right. Woo! The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. 80 pounds of horse. I'm sorry, I was thinking about the heroin.
Turn it off. Talk about the horse. Turn off the horse. 80 pounds of horse.
I didn't mean to do that, Phil. I was thinking of the movie. Why does it mention French connection?
Are you talking about the Fink connection?
What's the Fink connection?
I mean the French.
Yeah, it's the French. You can say it good, Phil. You're an announcer.
French connection.
That's it. The French connection. Why do they have that in there?
I don't know. The movie had just come out. You know, the movie had come out about 3 years before that. It was a big freaking thing. I don't know.
Well, I don't get it. The whole thing's pretty far out to me.
Well, why do you want to sing the song then?
So I can do it my way. Okay?
You said it, Margaret.
I'll do it my way.
Yep. You absolutely said a mouthful. Well, I didn't mean to say mouthful.
That's all right. I've left. I've bled. I've dee-dee. Do-do-do-do. You know the song. Do-do-do-do-do.
I know it.
Da-da. La-dee-dee-dee-dee. And so I say, with no confusion, my friends, I've climbed the heights, and now I think I'll do it my way. What's more than this, I'm doing it Frank's way.
Get the Frank's way.
Well, that's what it is to me.
All right, well, are you going to be doing that song this weekend?
I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, why are you doing the song? Usually there's something you're promoting.
Yes, this weekend we'll be back at Melvin's Ranch. That's Melvin's Ranch in La Crescenta, 2321 La Crescenta Boulevard, Melvin's Ranch. Two drink cover, two shows, 8 and 10, two big shows. And I think we're going to have the Earl Haynes combo with us.
How many guys are in that group?
I don't know, Phil. It's a combo. What do you mean, how many guys are in the group?
Well, I just wondered. I mean, a quartet has four guys.
I think it's just Earl. He's a solo. He plays, in other words, he plays the keyboards, and he has a one of those holders. So he plays the saxophone, he plays the keyboard, and he uses his feet to play the... What are you laughing at?
It just occurred to me that it's like one of those one-man...
Talk about those guys that has a monkey on a street.
No, he doesn't have a monkey on a street.
Now, you're talking about an organ grinder, bud. This is one of those clowns that has the...
He's not a clown. It's the Earl Haynes combo.
One guy.
It's one guy, but it's four instruments.
Well, that's not a combo. All right, you know.
I thought a combo, you know, I don't mean to be making a joke. I thought a combo would be like having a steak and surf.
What?
You mean surf and turf?
Yeah.
That's not a, that's surf, that's food.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the combo.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the Sizzler combo.
Oh, you guys really deserve to die. Got it.
That's a terrible thing to say, Margaret.
I'm getting some air.
You guys deserve to die.
I heard that, and I can't believe I heard. Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm trying to say.
I do, General. Thank you. All right, well, what the hell is... Turn that off, bud. All right, a lot of stuff's been going on. One of the things we didn't get to during the show, I haven't played all of the Justin Bieber audio. Should we do that?
Well, do it next hour. I don't want to have Bieber on my mind as I try to go outside and look at the stars and feel good about life, having just listened to that snot-nosed, dirty...
Yeah, that guy Bieber, he's really asking for it.
Look, I'll tell you one thing that I do agree with Margaret about. Bieber is he's a big name, and he's a big celebrity. Now, having been in these depositions, I think what happens is these guys, not because they think that they're better than anybody else, but they do deal with paparazzi, they deal with photographers, and they deal with attorneys, and you get defensive. It isn't that you think that you run the world, it's that you don't feel you should be the victim of these guys trying to get your picture every 5 seconds. And so the attorney for the photographer becomes a representative of that guy. So he's pissed, basically. He's pissed, and he doesn't want to cooperate, and the attorney, Bieber's attorney, is enabling him. You know, he might say to him, look, why don't you just answer the questions respectfully and let's get the hell out of here. But Bieber, I'm sure, has said, I don't want to do that. I want to do it my way because this guy's pissing me off, you know.
Well, I agree with you. But if he were my, if I were the attorney and he were my client and I said to him, now, look, Bieber, you know.
Well, you'd say, look, Justin.
No, I would not. I would say, listen, Bieber, I'm your lawyer and we want to get out of here with our ass intact. So answer this man respectfully. Otherwise, I will ram your head right through that door. And I would point to the part of the door where his head would go through, and I'd take out some chalk and draw an X there. And I'd say, see that? That's where your head's going.
Well, what's that going to do? Is the guy going to answer?
I think, yes, I think he might. I think he might then consider, well, hell, I think I better answer these questions respectfully or my head gets driven, and it gets driven. And it ain't no designated driver that will be, you know, that will be driven in the head. You see?
Yeah.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry I didn't say it well, but
you said it fantastic. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.